Where do the misfits go when they want to fit in? Cause I'm feeling alone. Where do the oddballs roll and the psychos swim? Cause I want to fit in.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 1. My name is Emma Dayton Peterson, and I am the host and creator of this podcast. If you've been listening since season one, thank you so much for all of your support. If you're new here, welcome. I hope you get as much out of listening to this podcast as I have gotten making it. Now, it's been a few months, so I would love to give you guys a little bit of an update on what I've been doing. Since the end of season one, I have some exciting news. I have actually started a trial run with a commercial agent. So I'm not officially signed, but basically what that means is I am on their roster to potentially send out for auditions, but I'm not in a set contract with them. So I'm not in a legal bind to work with them for a certain amount of time or what have you. But this is a great way to kind of get myself in the door. And if it goes well, then I can sign with them. If I don't want to sign with them, I don't have to. But if anybody has any questions, please feel free to let me know and we can talk about that a little more. And if you guys remember our guest from season one, Michael Tesler, I've started working with him and his production company to produce podcasts for them. And I have our first podcast with Multihouse is coming out January 26th, so I will be sure to share that with you guys as well because it's pretty exciting and I get to host and produce that one too. I have very quickly fallen in love with podcasting and that wouldn't be possible without listeners like you, so thank you, thank you, thank you. Today we get to hear from Jennifer Apple. We recorded this podcast a couple months ago. I made sure everything is up to date for this new year with the episode. Jennifer and I were connected through social media, through one of our other guests, and that's what's so great about this world. This is how networking happens. You network and connect with like-minded people, and they connect you even further to others, and this is how wonderful relationships are created. So Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. I know everybody listening is going to love your story, and all the advice is incredible. Without further ado, here's Jennifer.
Hello. How are ya?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
So you're in New York right now?
I am.
Okay. Yeah. Are you based in LA usually, or what's your your thing?
Yeah. No, I am a New Yorker, like true and true, born and raised. But when COVID hit, which at this point now feels like eons ago, you know, nobody really knew that it was going to be for this long. And my boyfriend lives out there, so I figured it would be like a cute little short stint of time. I'd rather be out there than out here type of thing, because I was on tour and we figured that tour was going to resume and then I'd just go back to being on the road. So instead of being long distance, we're like, all right, let's be together for a couple weeks max. You know, I had my round trip ticket booked, and then that just kept getting pushed and pushed until we canceled, right? And then it was just like, I guess I'm here for 6 months. So it's wild. Yeah, but now I'm back east with my family and you know, navigating. Nice. Whatever this is. Yeah,
isn't it funny how in the beginning I was so set? I was like, I have 2 weeks worth of food, I have, right, a lot of toilet paper. Uh-huh. And I'm gonna be fine.
Yep.
And now we're like eight or nine months in now, and
it's
mm-hmm. wild. It's a whole new world now.
I know.
So I would love to also know what you've been doing as an artist during, yeah, this time. And it's okay if you've been doing nothing. I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, I was doing nothing for the majority of the first half. And it was a constant battle of like, it's okay to do nothing. You have been working, you know, on tour every day, totally, performing for a long time. Like, it's okay to take a break. And that was hard to tell myself, but I watched a lot of Netflix. So, and Hulu and HBO and Showtime and Amazon. I mean, like, I watched all of it. So if you need any TV recommendations, I totally have you.
Amazing. And you were studying. That's really,
yeah,
what
that's
you were doing.
Exactly. I was like, this is me and just learning about my craft. Unclear. So that was, yeah, in terms of, you know, like doing the thing myself, I hadn't, but I am also an acting coach And so that has really, really been taking over in the positive way. It's been a true gift, frankly, of this time, where it had been something I had been doing in conjunction with my acting. And now it's primarily what I'm doing. I offer a bunch of different things with myself one-on-one, but I also teach with a few different companies and programs on a consistent basis. I also, you know, pop into master classes and workshops at various universities and whatnot. So that's been a huge, huge thing for me as an artist. And it's frankly keeping me humble and also my tools in check, because in order to be a good teacher, you have to get your point across eloquently and clearly. And so it has been keeping my acting, if anything, actually, I would imagine better, because I'm not in the grind with it, but I have to stay really on top of it. And then also, I recently co-founded a program called the Empowered Artist Collective, which is a community for women seeking a thriving, sustainable career in the performing arts. And this was like the only, I'd say, like creative light bulb I had over the whole pandemic, which was this need, as I've been coaching so much and teaching so many artists who are really skilled in their training, but do not have the life skills that no one teaches, you know. And I thought about myself and my education, and is like, no, everything that I learned that has to do with finances, anything that I learned about mental health, anything that I learned about how to, you know, use the many gifts that I have in many ways, like a multi-hyphenate type of situation, like that's all self-taught. And it's taken me years, and I'm still constantly growing, to even cultivate those skill sets. And why is that, right? Why are we not empowering young artists to be able to understand themselves as a full-fledged artist, or give them those tools so that they have it while they're trying to have a long, sustainable career? So I had this moment, and I reached out to a friend of mine, and in like a month's time, we created and launched this whole program that is pretty much filled, which is wild.
We have since finished our first cohort of that, and we are launching our second one next week. So on January 15th. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
I know. So that's really exciting, where this little, you know, idea that was in many respects like a beta test is now like alive and well and thriving. Our first cohort was a group of 14 incredible human beings. I mean, I felt so, so grateful that they entrusted me and my co-founder with like their hearts and their souls. But not only that, but we had we brought an incredible, what we call trailblazers, who are other individuals who can speak on other topics better than I can, say about like financial wellness. Like I'm not at all CPA. And they were so giving and incredible. And just already the way in which we're talking about the industry, the way in which we're approaching our artistry, the way in which we're existing as human beings, like all of that was just so wonderfully beautiful in such a strange time to connect on a really deep emotional way, to really talk about some hard things, to grapple with, you know, emotional well-being, mental fitness, you know, our sadness and our grieving and our excitements and our joys, like all of those things, to cultivate that somehow in like a virtual space was really just remarkable. And I'm so grateful that now we're launching our second cohort, and we've grown a lot even in just these past couple of months, and have really adapted this next round with all of the learnings that we had from this past time. So that's really exciting.
Awesome. For just to kind of clarify, so for the cohorts, if one of our listeners wants to join, what does that look like?
We also, when we created this, we wanted the cohort, which is what we call like the group of individuals that are with us for the 3-month program. We wanted to ensure that they had access. So much of the arts is frankly inaccessible to those with a lower income, or who are from, you know, different types of communities who don't have as much access to the arts or what have you. And we were like, no, the arts is supposed to be representative of humans and the scope of what it means to be human. And just because you might have some sort of financial setback or what have you should not be a reason that you aren't given access to this type of opportunity. So we've embedded into our programming various forms of scholarships. So we give at least 2 full BIPOC scholarships every cohort at minimum. Both cohorts thus far, we've done more than that, actually. And we also offer partial scholarships to those who need extra assistance. And we don't do that as a prescriptive, like, we'll only give you X amount off. It's really like, we want to work with you and where you are at in terms of your investment and ability to invest in yourself and this program. So if anybody is listening and they're like, this sounds really incredible, those are 2 of the scholarship opportunities. Otherwise, we do have an application process across the board just because we want to make sure that we are as much a good fit for you as you are with us in terms of like supporting the collective as a whole. So not only is there like a weekend workshop, but biweekly programming that are a mix of community calls and what we call art shares, in which people can share what they're working on in process. So often what we as artists do is all about the product, and we don't embrace the fact that the process is actually, frankly, more important than any of it. So really cultivating that practice. And then we also have panels throughout those biweekly programming as well that are sometimes open to the public. So if you are not a part of the cohort itself, then you are still potentially able to pop into those panels. But the weekend workshop is really where it's, I mean, like, it's quite intense to be in that much learning that fast.
That's, I guess, the long, long, long short of what I've been up to is in my craft right now, I guess.
I love that so much. One of the reasons I started this podcast was that I have my BFA in acting,
yep,
and nobody told me what to do once I walked out the door.
Exactly. Exactly.
I kind of want to backtrack a little bit, and I would love to know how you got into the arts and what kind of got your journey started.
Yeah. Oh boy. It wasn't anything like special. It was kind of like a slow burn, I guess, where, you know, I was singing really young and my parents tried to give me piano lessons. And to this day, I never stuck with it. And I'm like, you should have made me stay with it. I was 8. What did I know about practice? Of course I didn't want to practice. You know what I mean? Like, why did you?
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I have 3 instruments that I don't know how to play.
Right. And it's like, great. You can't, like, of course an 8-year-old doesn't want to practice. Like, that's about discipline. Like, it's your responsibility, parents, to be like, no, you do it. They're like, well, we didn't want to force you. You'd hate it. No, but now I would love it. You know, I think it's the same thing with like,
it's a hard balance.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like I went to Jewish day school my whole life and I spoke Hebrew and blah, blah, blah. And I hated it while I was in it. And now it's like the biggest gift that I have this second language, you know, and it's frankly right. Like what booked me the band's visit tour. Like, it's not the only thing, hopefully, but you know, it's a huge part of it. It's a part of me. And while I was in it, I despised it. And now I'm like the most grateful for it. So I think it's the same thing. But anyway, with singing when I was really young, and they gave me voice lessons when I was 7, and I stuck with that. So that was kind of the progression with that. Eventually like community theater. And I was always the girl singing at school. And then theater camp. And then in high school, I was the theater girl doing shows, directing shows in choir, all that stuff. And then undergrad. And then I went back and got my master's. So, I mean, it's kind of been like a slow burn. And I guess I never realized it was something that I could do as like a real thing until I was in theater camp. And there were some kids who were there who were also professional actors. And I was like, wait, you're my age when I'm this young and you're actually doing this, like, as a real thing. This isn't just like a thing that I see on TV and movies. And I guess that put it in a little back of my head of like, you could do this. It's like, okay. So I still, you know, every once in a while, relatively often, I wake up and I'm like, wait, you're doing this? This is what you've chosen? Like, especially now, this is what you've chosen?
Right. Yeah. It's a little bittersweet right now.
Yeah.
Especially now.
Yep.
You're more focused on theater than film, right?
The goal, I wanna say. Well, the goal is interesting. Yes, at the moment. But the goal is, frankly, to do more on-camera work. That was after graduating with my master's. I moved back to New York. And the goal was to stay there and start doing more on-camera work, which was happening. I had done some like smaller films, and then I had booked an episode on New Amsterdam. Around that same time, I also booked this band's visit tour. And so it was a big decision for me of, you know, I'm having this momentum starting in New York with this on camera stuff, or then here's this originating a 10-time Tony Award winning Broadway musical I think I kind of have to do that. So
yeah, absolutely. How do you say no?
Yeah. So I, you know, that was, it's a, it was a wonderful choice that I got to make. So that is the goal though. The goal is ideally to do more on camera work. And it's really what's most exciting to me right now. And I think there's some of the writing is starting to become much more interesting and deep for us women.
Definitely.
And that's exciting. And the stories that are starting to be told about humanity, I think, are a bit more compelling. So I'm really eager and anxious to really start to get a move on with that.
What's your next step for that goal? Do you have an agent and are you represented?
No, never been.
Good for you. And you're still getting all the cool. Okay. I love hearing stories like that because I'm also unrepresented right now. And I mean, I'm making a lot of things work for myself, but my next goal is representation.
Yep.
And it's something I've been working on, but I love success stories without representation because it's not
linear. Yeah. It's you have to hustle. I think I was just gonna say like people like yourself, you know, and I guess myself, it's if you have to do it on your own, you learn obviously a lot, maybe slower than somebody in, you know, like the opportunities happen potentially slower, but the hustle that it takes is insurmountable. And the skill set that you learn from doing it on your own allows you to really appreciate the wins. And yes, it's nice. It would be really nice to have a support system and to have a team. And that's also something that I'm hoping for. I literally had meetings with agents the week of the shutdown. Like I had three meetings on the 9th of March. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that was like starting for me. That was a huge goal of mine as well. But you know, there's something to be said about artists needing to understand that even when you do have a team, your work to book the job does not end, right? And so people like ourselves who have that in, like, if we don't work, no one's working for us, you know, then that combined with the team is like, oof, like, watch out, you know? So it's hard sometimes. And there's some rooms that I wish I could have been in that I couldn't get into on my own. And I really feel that struggle very hard, especially with on camera stuff. But I will say that it isn't impossible. You just have to work harder and smarter and faster.
Right. So without representation, how did you get in the room for the band's visit and just other projects you've worked on?
Yeah, the band's visit, I may or may not have had the breakdowns illegally. which look, again, we only have so much control, right? So that was in my control. And I saw that they were looking for an offstage female standby. And I had a few friends who were in the Broadway cast. And I had been talking with them, you know, prior. And the show is frankly very right for me. Again, like I speak Hebrew, I've lived in Israel, I have Israeli family. The story is really close and near and dear to my heart. So I did an old school headshot resume drop off to the casting director. They knew me pre me going to grad school. So it was an easy thing being like, hey, back from grad school, know you're casting this. Here's three reasons why I'm right for it. Bring me in. Right. And then they did. I went in for a couple of rounds and my journey ironically ended with roller skating, which is what the role I ended up eventually booking. But they had us girls come in and like roller skate around a studio space in New York City. And my journey ended. And then they called me back in a month later. So for the tour and Broadway replacements, and I went through that round, those rounds again. And then I booked the tour, I guess, January of 2019 now. Whoa, that is wild to say.
Time is flying. Holy. But also still.
Yeah. Whoa. And then, yeah, we started rehearsals and all of that May 2019. And then I was on tour from end of June until when COVID hit. And then with like New Amsterdam, I went in for an open call. And it was the way that they had structured it was you would be in a room with three different casting directors. You didn't get to choose. You just kind of like that was the room that you ended up being in. And they were asking for scenes and most people were bringing in dramatic scenes. And I didn't want to do a scene and I also didn't want to do anything dramatic. So I said, no, thank you to either. And that's kind of how I roll, I guess. I do not what I want. Like, I'm not going to be like, screw you. But it's, you know, I believe in showing up with your best foot forward. And if they want to see more, they'll ask, you know. So if I'm not feeling a dramatic scene and it's an open call, it's not about like specific material, then no one's going to benefit if I come in doing something that I don't want to be doing, you know?
Right.
So I went in with a comedic monologue. I still brought in like a reader to use as a person, and they thought it was quite funny, thankfully. And then at the end of that, they were asking me certain questions about my SAG eligibility, yada, yada, yada. And a couple of days later, I got called in for New Amsterdam, went into audition for that, and then I booked it.
You never know with taking a risk. And I think Correct. It's, as an artist, so important.
Yeah.
Because there really are no rules.
I know. And that's the thing that I feel like, especially, again, like coaching and teaching so much now, that's something that, and I don't claim to know all of it or any of it, frankly. I'm learning every single day as much as anyone else. But the one thing that has worked for me thus far has been breaking rules, not for the sake of breaking them, but for serving the space, right? Like, I, you know, with the band's visit, I went in with an Alanis Morissette song. Like, the show is like all about, you know, like this Israeli, like it's all Hebrew music and jazz influences. And I went in with an Alanis Morissette song. Why? Because I felt it was going to show them a part of me and like the way in which I story tell, right? So it's not like I'm doing that to be like, I don't want to sing what you're singing, but it's like, no, no, no. If you're asking for this, how can I best show up? Right. And I think we need to constantly be asking ourselves, like, yes, we want the job, but mostly like, how are we, I think of this all the time, how are we booking the room? Right. And I coach this too. Like, you're not, your goal and your job, frankly, as an actor, is to book the room. What does that mean? That the people behind the table, whether you book this job or not, they become your fans. And then they're going to start to bring you in more and more and more because they believe in the work that you do, because they know who you are. And if you're not showing up as yourself in that room, the best you possibly can on that day, then who are you serving? You know, if the goal is for you to be there as your truest best self, whatever best way you possibly can be that day, then like, you not showing up you're going to walk out of there being like, I didn't show up either. And they still don't know who I am.
I'm really glad this came up because I'm such a, by nature, I'm a rule follower.
Yeah.
I feel comfortable when I know what I'm supposed to do and I follow those rules. Right. I'm a little bit like type A in that way.
Yeah.
But as an artist, I feel so free when I break out of that.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like chains, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that's really important for everybody to hear of, you have to bring yourself.
Yeah.
And the risks can work.
Yeah. And I think it's just about a matter of like reframing like risk and like, and breaking rules, right? Because when I'm doing
that's
these
true.
Things,
that's
it's like,
point.
You know, I'm not being like, ooh, let's try to mess with the system. Like, no, it's like, how are we actually entering into the space to serve the work, right? So me showing up and quote unquote breaking these rules is actually hopefully in service of serving what they're needing, you know? And I think it's a matter of just readjusting in our brains how we can do that. You know, we're taught as women, like, wear your jewel colored dress and your beige heels. And it's like, for whom? I've never seen anybody walk right. on the street wearing that in my life. Like, what is that? You know,
it's that's like, so funny because I'm picturing my college audition outfit correct. And it's this like royal blue dress.
Correct.
And Nine West beige heels.
Correct. And it's like, you know, you look at every showcase of all these BFA programs and bless their little hearts, they don't know anything because they're not teaching them that. But like, I have never seen anybody walk around like that. I don't in real life.
Right.
I see people wearing like a dope pair of jeans, some cool boots and like a cool shirt. And now I'm like, oh, I see your style. Like, I want to know you, right? Like, we miss these opportunities to show ourselves and to show up fully and presently. And it doesn't do anyone good. Like, no yeah. one is going to benefit and no one is going to be like, ooh, that girl has a personality. That dude knows exactly who they are. Like, ooh, I can see them in this part because look at their personality. If you're just going to try to be what everybody else is, as opposed to being like, no, no, no. Like, let's take a moment. Who am I? What am I doing? What are my strengths? what can I bring into this space that is the puzzle piece answer to their problem? That is what we are. We are there to serve and fit a puzzle. And if you're not right. showing up and being that puzzle, like, why go?
I think what happens a lot is we try and give them what we think Correct. They want, not giving them ourselves.
Correct. And we're not mind readers.
I know I've been guilty of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We don't actually know what they want. And they probably don't know what they want until they see it.
Correct. So, like, go in there and give them something, you know?
Right.
Again, it's like something that I teach so often is like if you're not making a choice, then like they can't even give you a note to make an adjustment, right? Like, isn't the goal then for you to go in there and like make a choice and then be like, oh, hated that, but I know what that was. Now I need to ask them to do this versus like this gray, like you don't want to make anything bold because you just want it to be like pleasant. And then they're like, well, they didn't make any choices. Like, I don't know how to guide them in any direction because it just like was versus right. like, oh,
that's a great point.
That this is the thing. We don't like that thing. Or like, this is the thing. We love that thing.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
So as a coach, what are some of the, if you had like a number one advice you give to beginning actors, what is that advice?
Oh, I have so many. Oh man. I think
I know it's a hard question.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to like what we've just been saying, but like this idea of like not apologizing for who you are, you know, you are enough. You know, I think we apologize. We walk into rooms so often and with not holding our heads held high and our chests puffed out because somehow we're afraid of seeming arrogant or cocky and not recognizing that confidence is actually a good thing, especially as women, we're told to not own that.
I was
space.
Just going to say, like, especially as women. Yeah.
And, you know, to really, there's a difference. I'm not telling you to like go in there and be like, I'm great. But there is something to be said about walking in and knowing your worth and knowing who you are and how that is beautiful and needed and desired and wanted, and no one else in the entire world is you. So you are enough and you deserve to show up and become everything that you are supposed to be.
I was just talking to a casting director recently for the show, and one of her biggest advice was, as soon as I didn't realize people were doing this and I didn't realize that I have done it.
Yeah.
But people walk in the room and their first thing is apologizing.
Correct.
Whether they're late or that's their first audition and they just want to let the casting directors know and they're apologizing for something. It goes off on the wrong foot. And yeah. I didn't realize how many people did it. And yep. I've definitely done it because it's, as a woman especially, yep. it's ingrained in us that Correct. we're supposed to just be this perfect thing fitting a mold, and none of us fit that mold because it's not real.
Yep. Correct. Correct. Yep. It's just societal.
So no apologizing.
Agreed. I was on another podcast earlier and that exact conversation came up about apologizing, and it's just part of what we're taught. It's just it's really backwards, and it takes a lot of reprogramming, and you know, I still haven't perfected it either, but
right,
we have to constantly fight that, because why are we apologizing? Like, what is that doing for anyone, especially ourselves? Any sort of quote-unquote mistake that we're gonna make is growth, right? So it's like, if we're apologizing, then we're taking away from an opportunity of growth. I'm not saying that, look, if you're in the wrong, then like for sure apologize. But these unnecessary apologies are just taking away from opportunities to learn and grow. You know, be like, cool, that happened. All right, noted. I mean, if you hurt someone's feelings, like, please apologize. But like, if right. it's like you walking into a room and like seeing, you know, like, oh, you tripped. Like, why are you saying you're sorry? Like, that's an opportunity. Be like, I am such a klutz. What a wild day, period. You know?
Absolutely. I do this weekly accountability, like, actor support group with a career coach.
Amazing.
And it's the most wonderful thing. It's through Actor Salon, if anyone's interested. It's awesome. And one of the things that we talked about a few weeks ago is not apologizing. Mm-hmm. And what I have noticed since that conversation is actors, especially, how much we apologize for our body of work.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm sorry my reel's not good enough. I'm sorry my audition's not perfect. Yeah. I'm sorry you have to watch this, but I'm just going to show you what I have. Stop apologizing.
Yep.
And I do it too. And it's just such a
shift.
It's mind blowing, actually, because I can't believe I've gone this long without realizing that what I'm doing, it's bringing ourselves down.
Correct.
And there's enough people doing that. We don't have to do it to ourselves.
Oh my God. No.
Yeah. It's so hard.
I know.
It's so hard to walk into an audition room and just give your full self and we don't need to also be tearing ourselves down.
Exactly.
There's just no need.
Exactly.
Well, Jennifer, this has been great. I don't know if there's anything you wanted to share or anything you feel like we didn't get to discuss.
Not specifically. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, I think it's more like if there's anyone listening who feels like anything that I've said has been poignant, who knows? I feel like I try to speak honestly, but I think right now it's an interesting time as artists because with not a lot of work to be had, yet hopefully, there's a lot of, well, they seem to be working or they seem to be doing this or, compare leads to despair, and a lot of, projecting of one's own feelings onto whatever. And I feel like I want to invite people to just trust where they are and know that it'll work itself out. And when, and if, they do feel inspired on their own to get back into it, always feel free to reach out. I'm quite an open book also. And also just in terms of like one's craft, like if you are looking for monologues and that's something that you struggle with, I like specialize in finding monologues for people and humans. And that's like, that's awesome. One of the programs that I offer. Or like if you want to work on material or if you're, applying to colleges or grad programs, reach out. You don't have to be doing it alone. I feel like that's the other thing too, where so often we feel like we're on an island by ourselves and that there isn't a support system for us. And I want to offer that it's not that, and it doesn't have to be that way. And that there are people like you, like myself, who are really wonderful resources and also a great network of support.
And how can people find you and connect with you?
Yeah. On Instagram, I'm at @JenniferApple_ because having a last name like mine is difficult to find anything that isn't already a corporation. And then you can also find me on my website at jenniferapple.net. Same reason, it's hard to be an apple. Or if you are interested in coaching, you can email me at jenniferapplecoaching@gmail.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been great. I hope we get to stay in contact.
I would love that.
Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm so glad we got to have this chat, and I just learned so much from you, and I know all our listeners did too. If anyone is interested in the Empowered Artist Collective, which is such an amazing resource, resource, I have the information linked in the show notes below, as well as all the ways you can contact Jennifer. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more interviews, please subscribe to us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, and please leave a review and a rate on Apple Podcasts. That is super, super helpful to getting more exposure for the podcast. And if you wanted some behind the scenes information and kind of see the workings and reminders of episodes, go ahead and follow us on Instagram at @EverydayActorPod. All of this is also linked in the show notes below. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you guys next time. Our theme music was brought to you by the lovely Alyssa. To hear more of her music, you can check out her Spotify, which is linked in the show notes below. I wanna fit in.